It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we take an in-depth look at the early days of the Ebola outbreak to try to get answers about why the virus spread.
First, we're digging into some of the latest news in the upcoming presidential election of 2016.
This morning, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee announced he's running as a Republican candidate for president in 2016. Yesterday, retired neurosurgeon Ben Carson and former Hewlett-Packard CEO Carly Fiorina both announced their bids for the Republican Party's presidential nomination.
Here to talk about the news and where we stand now in terms of presidential candidates is Harry Enten. He's a senior political analyst for 538.com. Harry, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
Well, let's start with some of the latest news. Mike Huckabee entering the race. I think he's sixth in the field right now. Is this news a surprise?
No, I mean, Huckabee has for months, once he left Fox News, which was a very lucrative contract for him, it was pretty clear that he was heading towards a bid, and now he's just made it official, which is nice because he gets this nice announcement and we get to talk about it, but no, it's not a surprise at all.
So last time we saw him in this position, 2008, can we expect a rerun of that, or will there be an essential game-changing narrative here for Huckabee?
To me, it doesn't look like there's going to be much of a game-changer, because remember last time around, what he was able to do was he went to Iowa, which has a very large born-again evangelical Christian vote, won the Iowa caucus, and then ran in New Hampshire, where born-again evangelicals make up less than a quarter of the vote, and ran into a brick wall. And all the polling we see and all the rhetoric we're hearing from Mike Huckabee suggests that he's going to basically rerun the exact same campaign that failed him in 2008. The big difference between now and then is the fact that there are going to be a number of other candidates who are going to be competing for that born-again evangelical block, including Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. So to me, it might actually turn out to be a less successful strategy than it was in 2008.
Right, and given that, I mean, Huckabee must see the same numbers that you and I see, not to get inside his head, but can you get inside his head for us and tell me what he might be thinking about wanting to do this all over again in 2008?
Mike Huckabee is one of the best television personalities I've ever seen. You know, he can go on the air and he can convince you of anything. He could convince an atheist that God exists in 5 seconds if he really wanted to. And I honestly believe he thinks he can go on television. Debates played a huge role in 2012. And maybe he can convince some people who were not convinced in 2008 that he can win. I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, Mike Huckabee is the type of guy, if there's anybody who could do it, to be him. And I think he has a lot of faith in his skills. And we're going to see if that faith is going to pay off. I don't think it will, but maybe it will.
So in 2016, the pack is already quite large. I don't know if everyone who's planning has entered. Well, Governor Scott Walker is not entered yet. We know that. So is there a chance that these numbers could work to Huckabee's favor? Maybe split the field, and in 2016, he comes out looking better this time.
Well, you know, it's one of those things, right, where if you look at Huckabee's ideology, it really is in the center, if you were to push everything together, in the center of the Republican Party. And to me, that, in fact, plays against him, because what we're seeing isn't, you know, a number of moderates that are running, like, let's say, you know, Jeb Bush or Chris Christie pretty much has no chance of winning. We're not seeing a bunch of moderates leaving one evangelical Christian or someone who could appeal to that block. What, in fact, we're seeing is a lot of people who appeal to that exact block that Huckabee did well among. And that, to me, in fact, forecasts disaster potentially for him. But, of course, Huckabee has been at this game for a long time, so he can overcome odds and, you know, he can get on those debates and sound better than those other people. But there are going to be a lot of people who look a lot like Mike Huckabee in terms of appealing to religious conservatives. The only place where Huckabee might be different is he has much more of an economic populist position, which could help him do well among, you know, middle class or even working class Republican voters. But to me, the numbers just aren't really there.
Now, he's not the only one to have jumped into the race recently in the Republican field. Ben Carson, a retired neurosurgeon, also former Hewlett-Packard CEO. Carly Fiorina jumped in yesterday. Now, these two have not, neither one has run for and won public office. So what kind of effect do you see them having?
America is a great place where you can run for president even though you have no chance of winning. And Ben Carson and Carly Fiorina really don't have much of a chance. But what they can do, you know, and Carly Fiorina is going to be the only woman who's going to be running. And if she decides that she's going to bring up women's issues and she's going to force Republicans to look and recognize that, you know, Hillary Clinton is likely going to be the Democratic nominee, you can't talk down to her. If she can bring issues like that to the forefront, bring a businesswoman's perspective, someone who led a major company in the United States, that's a big perspective. Ben Carson has, is someone who really has had his eye focused on Obamacare. That's how he came on the scene in 2013, keeping that debate alive. Issue-specific types of candidacies can be successful. But again, if you look at the numbers over time, if you have never won a political office in the modern era in which caucuses and primaries have decided nominations, most of the people who have not run for political office simply haven't gone anywhere. And the ones that have are people who have real blocks of voters that they could count on. You know, think about Robertson with evangelicals in 1988, or think of, in 1996, Pat Buchanan, who really made an appeal to paleoconservatives, economic populists, people who are against free trade. And Carson nor Fiorina really stands out ideologically, which to me suggests that they're going to have major trouble getting their candidacies off the ground.
Is there a case to be made that Fiorina could peel women voters in particular away from Hillary Clinton, or does that just way oversimplify the way women vote?
I think that is way simplified. I mean, look, we can go back to 2010 when Carly Fiorina ran for the Senate against another woman, Barbara Boxer, and in California and got only 39% of the vote. I mean, if you are going to be a woman, that's great, more power to you, but if you're not talking to women's issues, if you're not going to be on their side of the aisle and talking to the issues that are important to them, then it doesn't really mean anything. I mean, you know, you could be an African American such as Ben Carson, and, you know, that's very important, and obviously the GOP wants to reach out to the African American community, but if you aren't talking about the issues that matter to the African American community, then it means nothing.
Now, both of these candidates, Ben Carson and Carly Fiorina, are candidates that I think you use the phrase vanity candidates. And it's not free to run for president. It costs a lot of money. So essentially, are these candidates, do you think, trying to change the conversation, or is there a different agenda there?
You know, these are two wildly successful people. Ben Carson is a great surgeon. Carly Fiorina worked her way up in the business world, and all the power to them. I think in the case of Carson, there's certainly talk, you know, if you talk to some people, that he's more interested in getting a nice television show for him at the end of the campaign. And if you do successful in presidential campaigns, Mike Huckabee is an example of someone who did successful in 2008 and got himself a Fox News show. Carly Fiorina, I don't really know, to be honest with you. I mean, most people look back at her time at Hewlett-Packard and don't think that she did that good of a job. And, you know, she ran in 2010 for the Senate and really didn't do that well of a job in California. And I think it's just sort of the next logical step for people who are successful. And they figure, you know, I got a number of people who are telling me I can do this. But in a country that is as large and as populous as the United States, you're going to find a number of people who can tell you can win president. But the fact of the matter is you're not going to be able to.
We're talking right now with Harry Enten from 538.com about the latest candidates in the 2016 presidential race. Jumping over to the Democrats now, we had Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders announcing that he's running for the Democratic nomination. Where do you put his odds right now?
Oh, good old Bernie Sanders. He, a fine movie actor. He starred in one movie or had a supportive role in 1999. I think he played a rabbi. And he's a successful senator. He's not going anywhere in this race. So he's going to bring liberal issues to the forefront. He may make Hillary Clinton move somewhat to the left. But Hillary Clinton is the most dominant non-incumbent front runner that we've seen in the modern era. And there's no reason to believe that Bernie Sanders, someone who is to the left of the Democratic Party as a whole, has no relationship really with minority groups that would be necessary to topple Clinton in the way that Obama was able to put together very liberal voters and African-Americans in his 2008 run. Sanders just doesn't have those connections. Sanders is going to be a voice. He'll get into the debates. He'll, you know, make Hillary Clinton answers to some issues where perhaps the base doesn't really like her, but overall his chances are slim to nil.
And given Hillary's dominance in the field, it makes you ask the question, you know, again, why is he running? But Max Ehrenfreund of the Washington Post recently made the case that Sanders could be successful not by just going left of Hillary, but by going for moderate working class voters more to Hillary's right. What do you think of that argument?
The writer of whom you just quoted is more than happy to hold that opinion. In my opinion, Bernie Sanders really doesn't have much of an appeal to the center of the electorate. He has been the most liberal United States senator for a long time running. I mean, he is someone who has at times identified as a socialist. And I just don't see it. Someone like Jim Webb, who, you know, will make his campaign if he ultimately decides to run more about working class white voters, may be able to have some success, and the two of them can team up and make Clinton perhaps focus on different issues that she might otherwise do, and if she didn't have competition, just be looking towards a general. But in terms of either one of them having really much of a chance of being able to beat Clinton, I don't really see it. if Clinton becomes so vulnerable that you can't win the nomination, what you'll likely see is somebody besides these two jump into the race and perhaps be able to topple Clinton. But neither Bernie Sanders nor Jim Webb really have much of a chance of defeating Clinton.
Harry, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Harry Enten, senior political analyst for 538. He was with us to talk about the latest candidates in the 2016 presidential race.